about what say we make ourselves a podcast episode?
Yeah, I don't do anything else.
Are we like episode 75?
Episode 74. Yeah, I think so. I think it's like 75.
What's out now?
Well, at the date we record this?
Yeah.
Oh, look behind the curtain.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
No one cares. 73, I'm pretty sure.
So this is 76.
75. We got a foil cover. It's like, mm-hmm. Why are you making such a big deal of the 75th issue? Because we can. Because it's the 90s.
Why are
75
you?
Variant covers?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. There you go.
All done by Eric Larson.
We're making a big deal out of it.
No, that's not all. Ooh. No, yeah. That's not all.
Ooh.
Oh, look, they're all shitty.
Ooh.
We are.
It's all Savage Dragon in the same pose.
Yeah.
I have a fin. Look at it. Fire burn.
Don't look at my fin.
Bread goes.
Look at it, don't look at it, look at it.
Yeah.
This is the only way that can climax. Running. You ever heard the expression, fuck me running? Who do you think came up with it? Me. Savage Dragon. I'm not actually that angry a character.
I'm glad the window's wide open.
Yeah. Dear God, let's do this.
And I'm glad I'm editing this episode.
Yeah. Because you're leaving it in.
I'm totally leaving it in.
All of it.
That's another thing that Savage Dragon says.
I'm leaving it in.
Oh, God.
Larson me up.
I just want to cuddle for a bit. Just feel real close to you.
Oh, my God.
This may appear to be only monkey business. But in reality, it's very serious, ladies.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Zero Issues. Zero Issues.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Zero Issues. Zero Issues.
Excelsior!
Welcome to Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Welcome to the I Hate Eric Larson podcast.
Hey, I'm trying to be a serious journalist.
I have nothing against Eric Larson in particular, which means I'm the Eric Larson lover of here for the group.
Well, I mean, after the last episode / the next episode, which you'll hear next week, I gotta get a good radio voice.
Yeah,
I feel like I need to speak from my diaphragm. Stop. There we go. Brian punched his diaphragm. Now he's going to get pregnant
now,
for sure.
Talk about this.
Where'd you get your diaphragm? Memphis.
Well, not talking like this. We're done.
Thank you very much for the diaphragm.
Oh, no, I'm back to normal. Oh, no.
Oh, no, immediately.
Jesus, what kind of a preacher are you?
I've got a suggestion, really quick. Let's introduce ourselves and say what we do right now.
Right now?
Oh,
we'll do the intro stuff right now?
Yeah, right
Let's
now.
Get it
I'm
out
Merc.
Of the way.
You can find me at mercasylum.ca, MERKASYLUM.
I make comic books. You can find graphic novels, t-shirts, posters, pins, things, whatever on my website. You can find me at Merc on the face of book, and also on the Twitter, mercasylum. Merc, yes.
I'm Kyle Lees. You can check me out on all the social medias at TheKyleLees.
I got your Facebook. I got your Twitter. I got your Instagram. I got your other stuff. There's other stuff, I'm sure. You can check out my old walkthrough for Dragon Ball GT on Game FAQs.
Oh, man, I want to.
Yeah, yeah. Final update. Still haven't found Oob in that thing.
Yeah. The GT Final Bout?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, because I have that, and I definitely... I want to make a video now of me using your walkthrough. I'm gonna break in.
Please do.
All right.
I'm Brian Kotick. My comic is at welcometohereafter.com. I update on Tuesdays.
As well, I have, I'm on social media as well, under Brian Kotick, BryKotyk. You can pretty much find me at all the places. Welcome to Hereafter is also on Facebook, so...
Give me the likes.
Okay, let's get to the news.
Current Zero News Flash.
I love just repeating stuff often what you say. It's just sometimes, I think one of the last...
Am I saying something just stupid as hell?
No,
there we go.
You made this weird noise the last episode.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You did it twice.
I was like, and I actually inserted a, listen to what Bri says at this part. You made this weird. And I was like, where did that go? Like, what was going on? That was brilliant.
Saying dumb things and making dumb noises.
That's my jingle.
It's the Bricotic way. Yeah. And making dumb noises. And making dumb noises. Yeah.
The jingle.
Okay, welcome to the news.
Radio ads.
All the wings of my dream.
It's rapid news fire, news flash today, because all I got are two stories. Noelle Neal, who was an actress who played Lois Lane in the original George Reeves series from way long ago.
First on-screen Lois Lane.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She just passed away at age 95.
Oh, well.
I think we should have a zero issues toast and a cheers to Lois.
For sure.
CW has signed an exclusive deal with Netflix. So their scripted shows will hit Netflix now 8 days after the season end. Yeah. So like all the truckload of DC comic stuff that's now on CW will all hit Netflix very shortly thereafter. The season end. So it's not like it's going to be show an episode. It's on Netflix. So you'll have to wait for the full season to end.
Yeah.
And then the whole season, I guess, will be on there.
There are some shows that have that arrangement, though.
There are. There's like some I watch the one
after it airs.
Yes.
Or the same time. I watch The 100 is on Netflix, and it's on, I think, CBS.
Okay.
So it airs on Thursday on CBS. Friday, it's on Netflix.
Oh, wow.
And that's show to show. Like, every week that happens. Which I think that's not a bad... Like, I don't really know how... It works for everybody in terms of legalities and payments and whatever. And really, what's the difference between having it that day and then having it on Netflix the next day? Like, what's the difference? What financial change will that make to you?
Well, I mean, it potentially get less cable subscribers watching it on DVR or whatever, because you could a Netflix subscription is a hell of a lot cheaper than any cable subscription. But
yeah,
you know,
but it's DVR, so you can Once you have DVR, you have DVR.
I guess so. I guess that's true.
Yeah. You're not paying for that. You just got your cable.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if it's only...
But you need both.
Depending on what you're watching and just... If there's only the couple of episodes of... Or a couple of shows that go to Netflix right away.
Right.
Then, you'll catch those and then catch the rest of them on regular, quote-unquote, TV.
I think that, like, it seems like getting a DVD or Blu-ray release for shows, it seems like that might be kind of... Some of them are kind of harder to find.
Yeah.
Now, and I guess maybe this is sort of their way of being like, well, we'll just put it on Netflix instead of maybe doing those physical releases, maybe, or making...
I don't know if... Well, I'm not going to say they're not going to do the physical releases.
They probably will.
They will, because that's a cold, hard purchase.
Yeah.
That's money. Here's the thing. I bought that. Goes directly to them, sort of thing.
And the way it is with online stuff, like, stuff goes away.
That's true.
And you've got like, we saw that a couple years ago when Capcom lost the license to Marvel stuff, when Marvel video games went other places. Games that were only released digitally. Like, some of the older Marvel versus Capcom stuff, you couldn't get it. It just doesn't exist.
Shoot.
So... There's going to be a market for hard copy stuff.
Mm.
Yeah. And, I mean, again, I'm not a person who wants to see hard copy stuff go away, but I've noticed a few things. Like, I know, like, I watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I think I, like, picked up the first season or something. And then, like, I've never seen anything past that in stores. I've never seen season two in stores, period. And it might just be something that's just streams online. And, like, oh, okay, well, you know, that's the way things are going. That's cool. I thought, you know... Season 2 was a big improvement, so I'm like, I'd like to have that.
Yeah.
But I can't find it anywhere, so I'm wondering if it's going to be a similar situation here.
I used to be much more hardcore about, I need to have...
Yeah, I know.
The hard copy of all comic stuff. And it's, like, all the older stuff, I do. And then the older stuff, the old bootleggy kind of things, I love those, and I love to find those and not just have them online. But
oh, you know what I found actually today?
What?
This is in things that Bri bought at Pawn Shop news now. The 1990 Captain America on Blu-ray.
I have that on Blu-ray.
Oh yeah.
It's on upscaled Blu-ray. crazy.
Yeah, I got that for I think like $350.
Wow, I didn't even know there was a
Blu-ray. Bought that immediately. It's not a good movie.
No,
but for $350, I think it was worth having.
We need to have a night of just horrible.
I know, right?
Yeah,
I
have. We'll end up with a podcast.
Let's watch Doctor Strange again.
Nick Fury starring David Hasselhoff.
Oh, yes.
I have that.
Oh, my God. Amazing.
Yes.
Why don't we do that Watchers spinoff?
We could. So easy.
So much work.
Welcome to the warm-up.
All right, so the warm-up this week. I have a list of some comic book stories that are, I don't want to say terrible,
but or at the very terrible. Least
are controversial. People generally don't like them. They're generally not looked well upon by a lot of people. Again, this is all subjective, but I don't have a name for this bit. Maybe it'll be a bit. Who knows? But it's say something nice. Say something nice about something that people mostly say terrible things about.
We've done this before.
Yeah, we've kind of done that.
What did we do it with?
I don't remember.
Yeah. Oh, it was Man of Steel. Or not Man of Steel, Superman Returns, wasn't it?
Yes.
That's sort of similar,
yeah. Yeah.
That's sort of similar.
You were like, well, everybody
it's like making a
this.
Defense of something, but finding... here. This
finding
one
the
might
good
be a,
in
this,
the...
Yeah. This is a bunch of different comic stories, and maybe it's... And it doesn't have to be taken as seriously. Like, if there's really nothing nice to say about it, you can just be sarcastic as hell.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to start off with going back to one of our earlier episodes, Ultimatum.
You know, it led the way for a lot of crazy changes in the Ultimate Universe. It led to fucking Miles Morales.
You know, fair enough. Sort of. I mean, Peter didn't die in that.
No, but like, it cleared the field of a bunch of characters who had to show up in the Ultimate Universe because they'd always been in the 616, but like, we just killed off like half of the cast of all of these books and, you know, needed people to take the place of these characters eventually, so characters like Miles Morales were able to come in there and there was room for them.
Was he not there at that point?
No. Ultimatum killed Cyclops, Professor X, Wasp, Blob, Magneto,
yep.
Wolverine. Did I say Wolverine? Cyclops got shot in the head in like the last issue of it, where he was like, so "Yeah, dumb. There will be peace" at this like speech at the end, and then just for whatever reason, just kidding. It's like, Wasp. Angel, Nightcrawler, they died.
Yeah,
Dazzler.
There was a lot of death. It was there was apparently Ultimate Doctor Strange existed.
Oh, yeah.
And he, like, I'm pretty sure his cape got wrapped around his neck until his head exploded. It was stupid.
I remember you telling me about
it. It was
awful. And I, you know, you told me about it, and then I actually looked it up later.
Yeah.
And I saw it online, and I was like, oh.
That was a good answer.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm learning how to take compliments.
Ultimate Wolverine was kind of a dirtbag douchebag, and he died, so that was okay.
And his son was okay.
Yeah,
not,
yeah, that
not
happened
especially
after.
Memorable, but okay.
You got anything?
I got nothing because I never read it.
Fair
so
enough.
I really don't know anything except for the peripheral stuff and the hate that we've spawned upon it.
And
just a little clips
of
like pictures of
the
whole Blob thing. And I was like, should I say anything about nice about that?
Cyclops getting shot in the head at the end of it, it was pretty hilarious.
Which is at that point, it's like, okay, fine.
Pretty funny.
Sure, why not? I think I know someone's answer to this, but Chuck Austin's run on the X-Men. We've covered this already.
I never read it. So I have no...
What did I like about it exactly?
The Juggs!
Yeah, I love those Juggs.
Was it Juggernaut and She-Hulk?
Oh yeah, well yeah, Juggernaut.
But he was, you know, reformed X-Men.
Yeah, the Reformation of Juggernaut.
Yeah, that'd be pretty much about it, I think.
Yeah, the botched reformation of a prostitute. He didn't do that very well, or tactfully.
Oh yeah, no, he's definitely tactful is what he's all about.
Kyle brings up the page on his phone from Ultimatum, where Cyclops is shot in the head.
It just says boom, and it's just as graphic as possible.
Yeah.
Like, all the violence in it was just, like, just gross. for no reason. Like it had no impact. Yeah. It was shown as graphically and even just as possible. Just
in terms of storytelling and sequential art, that's really weird.
They were doing the widescreen.
Yeah.
We are here today because history is about to be changed. Because freedom is about to be changed. A vote is being taken that the Senate will make it so. All mutants must surrender themselves to the United States government, or they will be hunted down and shot on sight. Boom, assassinated. Comics, everyone.
Yeah. It's the writing deserves all of the hate for Ultimatum, but yeah, you know what? David Finch,
you know,
sometimes
what? Yeah.
Like, just too fucking just gritty shitty. Like gritty shitty.
Get on with it.
Yes, get over it. Yeah!
Spider-Man Sins Past. That is the story where it was revealed that Gwen Stacy had sex with Norman Osborn and gave birth to twins that aged very rapidly and then wanted to kill Peter Parker for reasons. Originally, it was pitched that they were actually Peter Parker's kids who were coming back for revenge. At no point was it a good idea. At all.
Yeah, I got enough from that sound. I'm aware that was a thing that happened.
Yeah, I've never read it.
Why would I?
Mike Diodato... Drew it, and he was very much like he had a habit of basing characters on like celebrities or something. Like Mary Jane looked exactly like Liv Tyler, and like he had a habit of drawing Norman Osborn looking
like.
I've
read a lot of Mike Diodato, and I've never
he didn't necessarily do it like consistently. He did like some Thunderbolt stuff too, and he had a habit of drawing Norman Osborn looking like Tommy Lee Jones.
I like that. But he still had the Norman Osborn hair.
Yeah. So, I guess if you want to see Tommy Lee Jones as Norman Osborn having an orgasm face in a comic...
I mean, would you care to join me?
This has that. If you don't want that...
At age 73.
You should feel good about
yourself.
Finally,
a book for me. A book that I can enjoy.
It speaks to me on so many levels.
On the Spider-Man topic, what about One More Day?
Never read it. You picked all the...
Apparently.
Well, you only read good stuff.
Yeah. Good for you.
Well, largely what you guys know are the...
I guess so.
Era that I didn't read, so that's gonna happen.
Got anything for that?
You know what? I get One More Day and One Moment in Time mixed up a lot.
Okay.
One More Day is like when he makes the deal, right?
Yes, with the devil to erase his marriage.
It got rid of that dumb black costume. Just kidding.
Merc's feeling punchy.
It's a good costume.
It's a very good costume.
He's can have his opinion.
Even if it's wrong.
I like the black costume. He was wearing it for a dumb reason. It was just a movie tie-in.
He wasn't even wearing it in that run. That storyline. He was back in his normal
life. Then I guess I've got nothing good to say about it.
Yeah.
It's nice to see Mephisto get used.
I'll say this. I was happy to see Harry Osborn back. Even though his death story was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Much like, again, Aunt May's death story was perfect, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, I was sort of missing something with her gone. Sort of missing something with Harry gone. However, I'm glad that they revealed after the fact that it had nothing to do with the Mephisto deal. He just was never actually dead.
Price.
But, you know, he came back in that at the end of that story, and Harry Osborn was back. I'm like, oh, this is one part of this that doesn't make me just feel sick and horrible. Didn't say there was a lot good.
Silver linings.
Okay, The Dark Knight Strikes Again.
It was very colorful. I like what they did with Hal Jordan. I like that they had more superheroes in it. Plastic Man was awesome.
Yeah, that is true. There is some good things to say.
I barely remember.
He was
totally
like
forgot he was there.
And he was like just completely insane.
Yeah.
Between that and...
There was good typography.
I like that Batman smile.
Nice inks.
Yeah.
Good inks.
Sure. Getting inky.
Hot inks.
Batman The Widening Gyre by Kevin Smith.
Oh,
it's a story that
did
revealed...
Did that get finished?
I don't know. It's a story that revealed one of several things. I think it had that... Was it onomatopoeia or whatever showed up for the first time? And it flashed back to Batman Year One when he had his whole speech to the crime bosses, like, oh, enjoy your feast, it's done, or something. And then revealed that Batman peed himself when that happened. So that added
he had,
a lot.
He had flashbangs, and they were they were louder than he expected, and it sort of surprised him, so he killed himself a little bit.
So that's what you need.
I think it's good that it humanized him a little bit.
Sure, sure.
I thought the part with where he's on the island with his lady pal.
His lady
pal.
Silver St. Cloud.
Yeah. What was it?
Was it Silver St. Cloud?
I thought it was just someone that...
Ah, who knows.
But Aquaman shows up, and he's like, Bruce, what are you doing here? Like, did you get trapped here? I'll get you off of here. He's like, no, I'm just hanging out. Go away.
Make
are you sure I can get these dolphins to like get you out of here? Like, no, I'm good. Fuck off.
Kevin Smith gave his friend some work. So that's good too. Good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Walt Flanagan, right?
Yeah. His dog was not there.
I was going to say something.
His dog is more well known.
Yeah, his dog's more well known. Yeah. Okay. Did anyone read Superman Grounded by J. Michael Straczynski?
Okay, I'm going to go get another beer.
End of segment.
What the f***?
All right, welcome to the main topic. Today we are talking about magazines that are about comic books, shows that are about comic books and such, and like websites, things that are dedicated to like more of the news
but
and information.
But not podcasts.
Podcasts if
we didn't
want.
Even think.
No.
I really didn't. I thought about it, but I was like, I haven't really... Everyone that I've read, I haven't been impressed with.
We're the only good
including
one.
Including ours. Yeah.
Aww.
No. That's just partially why I wanted to make one. I was like, I want to find one, but then when I look at them, I'm like, oh, it kind of does the same thing.
I feel like a lot of comic-related podcasts are either way too formal and structured, or...
They're super specific.
Yeah.
Like, it's like back issues of... Green Lantern from 1976 to 78. I'm like, wow, that's...
Yeah.
It's either that or it's super duper loose, and we've been guilty of that in the past.
Yeah.
We're working on it, and it ends up being like a 3-hour episode.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I don't want to listen to that.
That is nuts.
Who wants to listen to that?
Yeah.
I've mentioned this podcast before, because it's probably my favorite comic podcast, aside from ours. Mm-hmm. The Explain the X-Men one.
See, I feel like that one's really, really structured.
It's very structured, yes, but it's like, maybe it's a little too structured, but I think it's a good production, and it's not, like, overly long. They do what they do for an episode, and it's, it doesn't overstay its welcome.
I've enjoyed, like, the Captain Britain stuff.
They're up there.
Yeah.
I honestly have not listened to a lot of comic podcasts, but just, this is like a handful, but every one of them I've been super... I have not searched anything out. And there's that. You've mentioned that, and I've actually not listened to it. And I probably would enjoy that.
It goes through, like, issue by issue.
Yeah.
So you can, like, find an arc that you're interested in.
Yeah.
Just listen to that.
Yeah.
But for this, I was thinking more, like, magazines specifically, and shows and websites and stuff. And just, really, the first thing that jumped to mind to me was Wizard Magazine.
Yeah.
Of course, for sure.
Let's talk about Wizard.
Let's
talk about Wizard is the title of this episode.
Is everyone's first note something about Wizard?
Yeah, absolutely it is, yeah.
They went for almost 20 years, really. Yeah. And you know what? I fucking loved it at the start.
Oh, yeah.
For probably a good, half or whatever chunk
they were going. We all read it regularly for at least a period, right?
Absolutely.
Like, I wasn't even really reading comics at the time, but I was checking out Wizard.
Yeah.
I was like, this is neat. I like this.
I really like
this is
the
much
format.
Better than Game Pro.
Yeah. Well, just the format and just like the little bits and things and just the funny bits and just...
The casting call stuff.
That
was one of my favorites. Yeah. And that's why I like doing... We occasionally do it on the show. I loved reading that. And
who would you... Yeah, totally. Yeah. No, I disagree with that. Who would you... I would put this in. And it was such a great thing. It was such... And it's a visual format for that, so it worked really well. But yeah.
Just all those little weird bits that were so fantastic.
Even if it's like specific ones. I know there was one where they had that Kevin Smith written Superman... movie that never actually got made, right? Like, Superman Lives, and they, like, sort of casted that. Yeah. They had their high points, for sure. They were very they had their top tens list It was all, like, the hottest creators. And I feel like it came around the time, maybe, like, the same time that, like, the Image
folks were
becoming big hot shots. It sort of helped that happen, maybe, in a way. Okay. Like, it sort of made, like, kind of celebrities amongst comic fans of creators more so.
Instead of, like, oh, here's the book and the characters and whatever. It was like, oh, here's the faces and the names of these people.
Which, and I mean, before that, I mean, like, there weren't tons of options necessarily to see that. I mean, you'd have them in comics. You'd have, like, sort of the parody stuff where, like, the creators would show up here and there.
Well, yeah. But, there were fanzines. Like, you go back to the 70s. There were fanzines and there were these things. But they were very low runs and very, like, very limited access. Like, you either had to be on a mailing list or in the town that it was being made sort of thing. And it's interesting just to, like, read and hear about the history of that sort of thing. I've read a lot of interviews with the creators of just, oh, I was interviewed by this fanzine when I was, you know, like, Steve Gerber, who did Man Thing, like, in 1977. And he's been, like, and I went to this this convention and I got interviewed for a fanzine. And you realize that they were actually pretty widespread, but just the reach of them was so limited.
Yeah.
That,
like, they were very regional.
Yeah. Like I said, you'd be on a mailing list, and there'd be, like, oh, you know, 500 people getting them, and that was about it. And it was all black and white, and it was, you know, 20 pages.
Well, it's like Wizard was, like, an actual magazine.
And it was beautifully produced.
Yeah,
it was. It really was slick, and it looked great.
And a lot of that had to do with, like, when it came out.
Yeah.
Like, it was right around the time the speculator market really started to pick up, so...
People. Like, the price guide was a big part of it. Oh,
yeah. I was going to say, yeah. Like, the price guide and then the stuff in the back of just price guide and, oh, watch out for these things. And, like, oh, and then they started doing, like, the grading thing, too.
Yeah, later on. And they had, like, the toy section, which was the spinoff. They had, like, a Toy Fair magazine, which is a complete spinoff there, too, which is,
holy shit.
Which really is kind of just, like, Robot Chicken's kind of doing that now. In a way, because they did, like, Toy Fair Theater or whatever.
Oh, yeah, that.
Which is kind of just the same thing, really. They just did parodies with, like, action figures and posing them in parody comics out of it, which became its own thing, too. And I almost feel like maybe they're some of the same people who are working on that.
Maybe.
I could be wrong, but...
The difference being that when Robot Chicken does it, they destroy the action figures, it seems like. It's really unfortunate. I'm very upset with the show. Will not watch it.
No.
You're absolutely right, and I didn't even dawn on me when I was thinking about this originally. Was the whole Image rise,
yeah,
and just that was, and it's not like it didn't, like, touch on DC and Marvel and everything,
right?
But it was pretty much DC, Marvel, Image, and it was the Image, you know, 7 or whatever,
yeah,
and it was though that clump.
It's and they had stuff. They had, like, features. I mean, I remember reading one in particular. It was in the 90s, like the mid to late 90s, and it was, like, sort of it went to, like, Joe Madureira's house and his, like, home studio. It was like a tour of his studio. And it was like really well produced, and his drawing table, and it had the whole thing. And they had this one area that was, like, his video game area. And it was sort
Your
of like
eyes just lit up.
Well, it was like him playing, like, I guess he had, like, the Japanese version of Super Mario 64 or something. Like, oh, that's kind of cool. But, like, just seeing how, like, much focus on the studio tours put on, like, him playing video games, like, it's a chilling sign of things to come when he just stopped drawing. Too many video games to play, and then, like, pictures of him playing video games, and I'm just like, oh, okay, this is why nothing's ever on time.
Like, that's why we got what was that game called, Darksiders?
Sure.
And Darksiders 2.
Yeah.
Which was probably designed by someone else.
Maybe, yeah. Hey, he's getting his money, that's fine. But there was a period where he was just doing covers for for EGM.
And PSN. Sure.
And PSN, yeah.
I had those PSN posters up.
Yeah, Very nice.
Very nice.
He was doing good.
Round 2 versus...
I had every issue for a good long run. And all the little, like, side issues and extra issues and, like...
But you stuff know,
the
like
villains
that.
Issue, and I was like, that was super fun.
And the
and
neat
it was,
little half-issue things that came
And I was like, that's...
Oh, yeah, they had, like, number zero issues and stuff like that. Yeah.
That was the fun era.
Yeah.
Of, like, this is the fun part of the 90s where this stuff is going on, and, like, let's celebrate it. And there's little things and features and new art with all these up-and-coming. And they did major artists, but they did up-and-coming stuff, too. And they had interviews with people who were I don't really know the name. I've heard the name, but I don't know them.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, that's really great. Because then I get to feature and see, like, whether how where they were coming from as a journalistic side, whatever. Right. But it was fun. Like, and a lot of it's tainted because it's like, this is my memory of when I was in high school reading this. So I loved it, but looking back, I don't, if I saw it now, it might be a little different. But then
a little schlocky.
Yeah, but then it started to hit like around 2000 or a little before, in like late 90s.
Well, even
hit a certain point.
To get to the facts, between 2007 and 2009, they had two editor-in-chief turnovers. The guy that had been with them since 91 was outed. Someone took his place. Someone took that guy's place. They fired all of their staff writers.
Wow.
And they brought in freelancers.
Yeah.
Which, I guess, whatever. But, you know,
They lost their way way before
that. As time went on, and yeah, definitely before that, they became a lot more, well, look at all this money that we're getting with the cons. What if we did more than one con? What if we did, like, you know, a couple of regional cons, and what they're doing, something like 11 cons? And
that's, well, then they bought...
That's what they did.
They bought all the regional ones, even in Canada, like the...
It's all Wizard World.
Yeah. Right. Some of them are, and then some of them aren't, but it's, yeah. There's the Toronto one that they bought that was a Wizard one, and it actually, I don't think it's done very well at all, if not completely full. Well, I don't know.
Too many cons.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's, yeah.
Too many cons.
Too many cooks. Too many cooks. Too many cooks.
Too many cons, too many cons.
At the time, though, I mean, again, like, getting that kind of, like, you know, interviews and, like, behind-the-scenes stuff, and again, like, just seeing, you know, occasionally just creators, like, where they do their stuff, that was the only way to see that at the time. Internet age, yeah, that's, like, a regular
feature. At the time, I love behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yeah.
And I love, and just being an artist, I love to see interviews with artists and writers and find out what was going on. And, like, if as long as it's not schlocky and stupid and, like, it's filler. Oh, I love, who's your favorite character? Oh, I love Incredible Hulk. Oh, so do I. Like, just, okay.
Strong.
He's really big. I love green. You know, okay. Yeah, is there anything of substance? Like, if it's got substance, and a lot of them, especially other ones, did. Like,
There was not substance. There was a lot of real juvenile teen boy shit in there.
You had to balance it. Like, there was, here's the full magazine, you know, like, half of it or less had substance, and then then it was bound,
and a lot of it is just like, look at,
I'm totally fine with that,
like, and Turner drew some tits here, look at those tits,
yeah exactly,
yeah.
Oh, another Adam Hughes cover,
yeah. Which, you know,
it's, yeah, that's how it goes, but
look at these tits Adam Hughes drew.
I remember at a point reading it and was going, this is getting weird. You could tell that the articles were, I don't want to say purchased, but very specifically oriented to, like, oh, this company has a new thing coming out, and here it is. This is the thing. Rather than, like, okay, here's the promo thing, rather than here's just an article on something really cool that's here, or, oh, it's coming out, or no, it's already going. Here's an interview with the creator, and kind of behind-the-scenes thing, and where did you come from? No, it was like, everything was, oh, X-Men are coming out with a second book. Here's the 18-page, well, secondary to this thing. 18-page feature.
Exhilarating X-Men.
Yeah. It's like, oh, fuck, Sage.
Featuring,
like,
Storm, Gambit, and, I don't know, Sage?
And 14 pages of art. Of new art that you're going to see later on.
Right. And,
all right.
Well, and I think that's what every sort of, like, comics journalism...
Buy your gamer chow.
It's sort of what every comics journalism or and any niche journalism game, same thing, where it just basically, like, there's a point where it's like
you get sucked into that.
You're really just sort of basically playing certain places, or just sort of basically playing like marketing department for them, and it's just, it's very usually pretty transparent.
There used to be comics. I totally forgot about it until you said the word journal, comics journal.
Yeah,
do you remember that?
Yeah,
I would find that sporadically in stores or wherever and be like, oh my god, there's a magazine about... That was the first magazine about comic books that I ever saw.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I have any still. I might have one or two floating around somewhere in a box, but That blew my mind. And they were all like, mostly black and white with maybe like two or three color pages inside and
right.
Shitty production. But at the same time, it was like, oh my God, this is fantastic. Like, just to have something. And then there was when Wizard came out, it was like, oh, it stepped it up a notch and it looks good and it was good.
Check out what real production values sound look like.
Yeah.
They look like a thing. They don't sound like anything. It's a magazine.
Get him, Seamus. Put him in your face.
Yeah. In researching this, I did discover, and I never actually read this, but this kind of sums it up. In issue 100 of Wizard came out in January 2000, there was a full-page ad for an unlicensed fan film and video game called Sailor and the Seven Balls. Balls with a Z.
What?
And I know, I have to almost track this down in like a morbid curiosity kind of thing. It's one of the Dragon Balls from Dragon Ball Z causes Sailor Moon to grow a penis on her wedding day.
What?
And I'm not making
this
that
up. This is advertising Wizard Magazine.
Yeah. Episode over. We are going to watch the
I know. I read that and I was like, that can't be right. What? No.
Okay. All right. Safe. We're going to turn incognito mode on.
Sailor and the Seven Balls. I know. I'm like, what?
Dear God.
What?
And again, that's advertised in an official, like, well, not official, you, but I mean, like, it's like a major comic publication.
Yeah,
that's
let sort of that, the point where it's you like, let oh. that go through. That was, that you thought that was a good decision.
It sets a tone.
It totally sets a tone.
And maybe that was the downward spiral.
Absolutely.
So, what came to take the place of the magazine? The website?
The website.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh. Eventually.
Eventually. There's, like there's, that, like, there's, so
there's
many.
Still a huge amount of time in between that.
It's crazy.
You're talking a decade, or, like a decade or more after the real start of
but
the
But I'm saying print got killed eventually.
Oh, yeah.
Print in general.
Yeah.
Can I go back before we go forward?
The end of the beginning is the end? Whoa!
Wait, Batman Robin Smith?
Whoa!
Yeah.
No, Watchmen soundtrack.
Oh, okay, sure, yeah. Why not?
It was the far superior soundtrack, let's be fair.
Well, okay,
other than that
enough.
Fall Out Boy song.
You like Fall Out Boy.
Nothing they've done is
I
good.
Do not! I don't! Shut up!
I've mentioned it before, but this really fits in with here is Prisoners of Gravity.
Kyle then shows us a photo he finds online that is a promotional piece for Sailor and the Seven Balls.
That's not the one I saw. The picture I saw. The picture I saw was creepier than that.
Oh, I believe it.
And it was in.
Well, there's.
It was like.
Wait, was it the
Sailor Moon
one?
Like this, and in darkness behind was somebody who kind of looked Dragon Ball Z.
That's Goku.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, that's what.
Oh my God, no!
Have you got the balls? Goku. With a Z again. With a Z.
Goku would never.
What? Mention it to your wife, Sean.
She'll want to watch
she'll
it.
Yeah, I know.
She'll really want to watch it.
I know,
it, yeah.
I know.
She'll be very excited about this.
Just going to put my phone down.
And light it on fire.
And grab this hammer. And smash my phone with a hammer.
Yep.
So yeah, Prisoners of Gravity.
Mm-hmm.
1989 to 94, 139 episodes. This was on TV Ontario. I came across this accidentally.
I think that's how everyone found it. Is it? It was Rick Green, right?
Rick Green, who was
Rick
from
Green!
from the Frantics, the comedy troupe originally. Then he was with Red Green as like a side character,
or
writer,
Bill
and stuff.
Or something.
Yeah, that show fucking blew my mind, and I cannot.
Even the intro sequence was super cool.
That was Ty Templeton, Toronto artist.
Oh, yeah.
Who drew that.
Yeah, he's done a lot of good stuff.
Yeah. That whole thing.
He's like an art school, actually, in Toronto. He does like a comic art boot camp thing.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
I've known a few people who've done that.
I cannot stress to you the sheer blowing of my mind that thing had. Of like, oh my God, there's a TV show that talks about comic books, science fiction, fantasy, literature, movies, TV, like all that stuff intertwined like that. But taking it
at a time when that wasn't everywhere.
It wasn't everywhere and it wasn't anywhere. And it's still one of the few that takes it seriously as an art form, and that still, I think, stands. You can watch those episodes and still grasp it in that way. Mm-hmm. That it was like, I saw interviews with all these people that I never saw a face to those names before. I'm like, oh my God, these are real people. And you hear them talk about just the art form and creating and hearing about the serious side. It wasn't like, so, an interview with Stan Lee and, oh, tell me about the, like, how you created Spider-Man. Like, oh, who gives a shit?
Well, I soft.
Yeah, well, I got this guy to do it and then I stole it from him. his name was Steve. No.
So it's not you, too. Steve.
Go back to your apartment.
Excelsior. Face front so I can fuck you from behind.
Oh, oh my God.
Continue, please. Prisons of Gravity.
Oh, dear Lord.
But just, it was these interviews with people talking as if they were like, and I don't want to say as if, they are. They're writers, they're artists, they're creators. Mm-hmm. They should be on the same level as... Okay, you have like Ursula K. Le Guin and Clive Barker, Ray Bradbury, Charles DeLint, Harlan Ellison, William Gibson, Terry Pratchett, Anne Rice, Spider Robinson. Right beside Chris Claremont, Will Eisner, Frank Miller, Bill Sienkiewicz, Neil Gaiman. And they're all like all mixed together. Like, and they're talking on the same level. It's not like, yeah. Okay, now we're going to go to the kids' table and talk about comics. Right. And that literally...
Yeah, it's literature is literature.
And Rick Green was really good at, like, I fucking loved this. Yeah. This was great. This blew my mind. I love how you did. And you could see the genuine excitement in his face. And it was interesting to see. But there's, like, those ones who else did I write down? George R. R. Martin. These are regular people that were on the show. George R. R. Martin... Gilbert Hernandez, David Lloyd, Larry Niven, Bob Kane, Charles Vest, Dennis Cowan, Sergio Aragonés, Bill Sienkiewicz, Todd McFarlane, Steve Bissett, Denny O'Neill, Neil Adams, Douglas Adams, Alan Moore.
Moore did like a, yeah.
He did real interviews. And then it was like years later.
And he did
later,
like a reading of some stuff. It was this is neat.
And then it was years later, you realize like he doesn't really do interviews anymore. But there's shitloads of them there. And Neil Gaiman was the one that kind of blew me away. That it was, he's so interesting to hear speak.
I need to go check this out. The amount of Prisoners of Gravity that I've seen is very, very limited. But I remember it being that sort of thing that, like, what is this? Why is this on at midnight? I'm enraptured by it. What is it?
I think the first time I saw it, I was at camp. And we just had, like,
it seems like a camp show.
It's, yeah.
Is this online somewhere?
Good. Yeah, you can find them. If you go to, it's TVO, TV Ontario, which is funny because it's, like, the Ontario Public Broadcasting System kind of thing, like a PBS thing. But for Ontario, you can find most of them on YouTube anyways.
Cool.
Most of them there. But I think through TV Ontario you can find them. If not, just YouTube. But just so... Like, I remember watching this going...
I want to watch
like,
all of that.
What is this? Like, I was just baffled.
Yeah.
Like, there's a show about... Like, is this ongoing? Am I always seeing a one-off? Is this a movie? Is this a documentary? Like, I don't even know what I'm watching. This is great. And then it ended, and it was like, that was half an hour. What the hell? What's going on?
Shaking your seat.
Yeah, totally.
More!
Which is weird, because it weighed like 300 pounds.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Then I was crushed by my television. Yeah. Sorry, I will stop going on about Prisoner Gravity.
No, it's awesome. Go watch that. After this episode.
Yeah.
I'm going to.
So, after.
After.
After. After Wizard.
Mm-hmm.
Went away.
Can we talk about the websites?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Because there's a lot of them. There's a few that are good. There's a lot that are trying to be good. There's some that are, they've got, specific political biases. Which is weird, because you can't mix politics and comics.
It can't be done.
No.
I'll drink to that. Is that as like a drink part of the drink game?
Yeah,
part of the drink game? Yeah.
Mine's empty now.
It's full now.
Merc to the rescue.
But I would say like stuff like the Mary Sue.
Who has political things? Oh, okay.
They both do. CBR occasionally does on like one of their satellite sites.
Yeah.
A political thing?
Oh, yeah. But then someone says you can't do that.
Yeah.
Can't be done.
But that's just...
But then someone's like, Zoom! Zoom!
Yeah. Kyle is referring to the line that is drawn that Merc is one of the artists for. One of the other artists is Professor Zum, who often draws himself into the art pieces with the comic characters.
I'm never going to get tired of making fun of that guy. He's good.
He's taking a break right now.
Oh, no.
But, well, he had like surgery.
Oh.
And he's been very sick.
Oh.
But he's actually coming back. I just got the email today for the line that is drawn. Professor Zum is coming back for...
Is it Zum or Zoom?
I call it Zum, but it could be Zoom.
There already is a Professor Zoom.
Yeah.
X-U-M. He's a fucking fantastic artist.
He is.
Yeah.
He's really good.
He just likes to put himself in stuff.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And you know what? Go ahead.
Yeah.
He's, why not, right?
I don't know. He's in his 50s and he doesn't do this professionally and he's just kind of...
He's having fun.
I'm like, do whatever you want.
What is he? Like, he's good, right? What does he do professionally?
I don't know what he does for a living. It's weird because we get the emails and I'm like, I'm not sure what people do regularly. Yeah. I catch the odd little bit that some people are like, sorry, I've been super busy at work doing this and this and this, so I haven't been able to pitch in, and like, I don't get to pitch in every week, and it's just whatever I have time for. I'm not doing this next week, but it's next week is $299. The following week is week 300.
Okay.
This has been going on.
So it's all 300 tributes.
Well, that was the thing, because the guy who runs it, Brian Cronin, was like, well, anybody have any ideas when we were doing this week's? Anybody have any ideas for number 300?
Yeah.
And I pitched out. I was like, we ever, like, new characters in Frank Miller's 300. Characters that are 300 years in the future, 300 years in the past, or like do a line that is drawn comic issue 300 kind of something, like with a whatever character. I kind of liked the issue 300 thing, but he picked characters 300 years in the future, so we're doing that.
Okay.
But then he was like, I think that was suggested by Merc. I don't know, whatever. I'm like, oh.
The line It Is Drawn 300 comes out this week. Follow Merc on Facebook or Google the line It Is Drawn. It can be found on Comic Book Resources website.
Hey, we're seeing behind the scenes.
Yep.
That's
and why I brought it up was because Professor Zum, I'm taking a hiatus from my hiatus, and he's coming back for number 300.
Yes!
So we'll see what he does.
Get hyped!
I can't wait to make fun of it. But, like, good-heartedly.
So, websites.
What
else?
Well, I feel like that's the big one. That's what it CBR. Is right now.
It seems like...
Yeah.
Feels CBR like CBR Bleeding there's, Cool. There's, maybe there's more money in talking about comics than there is in comics.
Yeah.
There's like a million websites, but, and they all seem to be doing fine.
There only seems to be money for like 8 or 9 guys.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Because it doesn't take that long to talk about comics?
No.
Or you make a list of 5 comic book characters who have brown hair?
There,
you've been on Newsarama.
There's the two ways of approaching, I find, that it's like, that, like, here's make a list sort of thing.
Like,
the
when,
one, like, here's
a
quick thing.
When a listicle has heart and has thought put into it, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am not against the list. I actually enjoy them, but at the same time, Newsarama is the worst for it.
Yeah.
They do that all the time, and you know what? I hate whoever runs their Facebook page, because if I have to see thoughts ? One more time, how f***ing hard is it to put a link up to whatever you're doing and say something?
Here's a thought. It's a death thought. It's projected right at you. We all do it hard enough. Maybe aneurysm?
Crazy.
Yeah, for some reason, like, the clickbait model works. Because we're idiots and we will click these things. We will. We
every
will.
Time.
And they know it.
And but that's
you won't believe what we say on this episode. Never mind.
And again, what?
Yeah.
But that's the thing.
You gotta listen to the entire Zero Roots Just Coming podcast to find out.
That's going at the front.
It's evolved into that mode.
Yes.
Like, not all of them, but a good portion of them. Where it's like, and some of them do it worse than others, where it's like they'll post the same thing over and over again. And people will call them on it and be like, you posted this 2 years ago, and A lot word of things have happened, yeah. Like word for word. You haven't updated anything, and you just reposted the whole thing.
A lot of them, not even just comic sites, but that's pretty frequent. Where if there's something where it's not like time sensitive, they'll repost it.
But some of them are time sensitive.
Cannibalize their old material.
Yeah,
I know.
But
gotta get them clicks.
But it's better than nothing.
Oh. I'll take some nothing.
Yeah. How about some nothing?
Two more things to mention, super quick.
Ink, comics on tape.
Have you ever seen Ink Alter Egos Exposed? It's a 10-episode series.
It sounds super familiar.
Hosted by Hugh Dillon, who is the singer for the Headstones.
Okay.
And he's an actor as well. Kind of. But it's actually a really interesting documentary. 10 episodes from 2008. Really good. Along the lines of Prisoners of Gravity sort of thing, but it's a little slicker maybe. But just like interviewing artists and writers and whatever, kind of doing that sort of thing. There's that. And then there is other print media stuff still going.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's, there's one in particular, one publishing group that I've discovered recently that I really enjoy called Tomorrow Publishing, like T-W-O Morrow Publishing. And they do alter ego back issues, comic book artist, comic book creator, Jack Kirby collector, some of which I've seen before, right here.
Hmm, that's what's over there. I've been looking at that.
I picked these up in Vancouver, and I had never seen these before. These are issues of back issue, which these are super fun. I fucking love these. Well, and got, maybe I saw this, and I actually picked this up specifically for you to see.
I like it.
It says, "When Comics Were Fun" issue. Because that's...
It's got Hembeck.
Yeah, well, it's Hembeck, and it's just... And
may I see the weird issue?
Absolutely. It's super interesting. Like, they're like Justice League of America in the Bronze Age, the Satellites years, Injustice Gang, and Marvel's JLA Squadrons. Like, and it's the Detroit, JLA Detroit.
Yeah.
Group and oh it's like God, it's cool. Going into like a lot of the 80s stuff, and it was like it might be a little bit before you guys were collecting, but this is the stuff that
it's still
I collected.
Stuff that I'm like,
and
I'm familiar
yeah, you're familiar
with,
and but of. And then some of it goes way back, and then some of it goes not far
this
back.
Is interesting.
It's oh super God. Fun.
And magazines are great.
Holy crap!
And I
why
well,
are you doing a magazine?
Yeah,
and like some of them like really go back far. Like there's
oh man,
like Plastic Man stuff, Black Hawk. Like old school Hawkman things, but it's then you go into, you know, George Perez doing Justice League and the legacy of the Justice League, the unofficial Avengers Justice League crossover.
This is really cool.
I know.
It's such a specific take too.
And
right?
like they're full on articles. They're the good part of what Wizard used to be.
Yeah.
And it's like
without
they're very
the crap.
Without the crap and very specific articles. Not as like quite high end, but still looks really good. Like not.
That's a quality publication for sure.
Great.
And again, it's like a highlight on like very specifically a highlight on a lot of like comics and creators that maybe kind of get shoved into the background. And
yeah,
that's,
like
that's
and
really
of course,
nice.
Like nothing is current. This is like this particular one is called Back Issue, so it's all. Older stuff, but it's all Bronze Age.
Very cool.
And there's the other ones like Alter Ego and Writer. Like some of them deal with specific like art, like the writers and the artists and whatever. But
I love this.
This
is awesome.
But yeah, like the respect they give like the old creators.
Well,
and
that's
stuff.
The Ooh. Thing. That's the fun.
That's
part.
That's awesome.
It. Okay, so I'll stop talking.
About How about Clint Magazine?
Clint?
Yes.
I've like
never
heard
of
it. Yeah.
I listen, there's
I
a few
no
things I had to
that.
Bring up. It was Mark Millar's magazine. Mark Millar's magazine.
The kerning.
Yes. The title is a reference to how, you know how like in old comics, if somebody would say Clint, like Clint Barton, or would say Flick, it would sort of run together because of low quality printing, and it would look like other letters. Like the L and the I would look like a U. So he, of course, Mark Miller's a classy guy, and he made this comic called Clint Magazine. And a lot of it, like, again, they did publish some comics. It was from Titan Magazines. They published, like, you know, parts of Kick-Ass 2 and American Jesus and his own stuff. He basically was like, Mark Miller's great, the magazine.
Can do anything, basically. And he's also a billionaire playboy in his private life, you know?
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. And, it didn't run super long. I think it ran like 3 years and then got canceled because...
I think he mostly just wanted to do it for the joke.
That's pretty much it. And he was at a point in his career where it's like he could do that and actually run a magazine in 3 to 4 years based on a joke about, you know, how Clint sometimes looked like a bad word in comics. That existed. Just so you know, that existed.
Yeah, good lord.
Thanks, Mark Miller.
Good gosh.
Any thoughts on a couple of websites, very briefly,
yeah.
That are somewhat controversial sometimes. Okay. Certain articles. Not a lot of people like Rich Johnson sometimes. Bleeding Cool, kind of a muckraking website compared to others.
Right.
However, at times...
I tend to stay away from it a little bit, but I do occasionally jump on it.
However, at times they actually cover stuff that a lot of other people aren't touching, and it turns out that there is a reason for it. Like, sometimes when there's actual controversies behind the scenes in comics...
The insiders won't deal with it.
Even if they don't, like, come out exactly with it 100%, they'll at least, like, refer to what's going on in sort of a winking way where you're sort of aware. And again, Rich Johnson gets a bad rap in a lot of ways and for a lot of valid reasons. However, you know, we've had some controversies come out behind-the-scenes stuff in comics, and it seems like a lot of, like, the mainstream sites did not want to touch it at all until they pretty much had to. And there's that, and there's a site I go to sometimes, The Outhousers. You ever check that out?
Oh, I've never seen it.
It's very, like, it's kind of like a, almost like a satire site in a lot of ways, where they, like, poke fun at comics and comics journalism, like, crazy. Like, if there's some hypocrisy in there or something that doesn't quite add up, they'll just mock it openly.
Hmm.
And it's kind of funny sometimes. It's, you know what I mean? Like, it's these are sites that, again, you realize when you sort of follow comics journalism as it is, and then maybe these sites a little bit, and back and forth, and like Twitter and stuff like that, how small a community it is, because you have a couple of sites that really seem to piss people off.
Yeah.
And it, you know what I mean? And there's like lines in the sand about stuff like that. And I mean, like, a bigger industry, it wouldn't really be that big a deal. It would just be taking your lumps. But in this one, it seems like things get taken very personally.
I think it's partly the small industry thing, but it's also just this industry, everything, everybody takes everything super personally.
Yeah. Because
it's, and it doesn't matter where it is.
You're not too far separated. No. That's the thing, right? Everybody sort of knows each other. It seems like that's how it is, right? Yeah. And if there's certain people, they sort of become like kind of shunned or pariahs or something if they say something that's not on the up and up. But there's there's two sides to that, right?
Yeah.
Because oftentimes the major, the quote-unquote mainstream comics journalism kind of just goes with the flow. And if somebody's like, hey, this is messed up, that's
and, like,
not going to get much traction.
We've posted, we talked about not long in the past, was sexual harassment stories that people didn't seem to touch or just seemed to dance around and then always seemed to slowly come out. And then who's talking about it, who's not talking about it, what's going on, and...
And again, I'm not giving full credit to something like Bleeding Cool necessarily. He tends to, like, refer to things, but not actually come out with it 100%.
Yeah.
He tends to, like, sort of, like, hint at it for other people to pick up on. Like, you have, like, the Mary Sue, for example, which will jump on stuff like that for sure. And, like, Comics Beat is usually pretty good about stuff like that. And I would say that those are, you know, Comics Beat is a good one for sure. And it often covers a lot of stuff that the major people don't, just because it's, like, indie stuff. Maybe they handle that a little bit better than others, but I don't know. It's just it's a really wide field out right now. Like, if anything, it's just there's so many sites and there's so many very specific sites doing their own thing. And
it's interesting. I hope it gets better. It's not like I go to a specific site. I see a lot of couple of sites all the time because I kind of follow them a little bit, but it's the same shit, just recycled over again. Largely promotional material. Look what this is coming out. Oh,
yeah.
They're filming this. Here's photos from the filming of something. Like, I don't. Does anyone really care?
I like those ones of Spider-Man. I finally got those photos of Spider-Man.
Yeah, really, I like it.
There were the pictures where he was like sort of like pulling at his crotch. But also looking dead at the camera.
Yeah.
Like, he knew what he was doing.
Well, I enjoyed those quite a bit. There was all the concrete tubing. And when I drive to work, I drive by dozens of those concrete tubes.
Yeah, like every
day. They're doing
road
work. And I'm like, every day, I think, man, if I took a picture of this right now and wrote... Wonder when Spider-Man's coming out of one of these. It's going to be a little less funny every day. Should have done that day one. God damn it, Kyle.
Yeah.
Moment of zero.
So, I'm doing the Moment of Zero this week. I want to talk a little bit about a show that we did not get the chance to touch on, and that show was the Anti-Gravity Room.
Oh, yeah!
Which was very... It was somewhat Prisoners of Gravity-esque.
So there's a similar word.
Gravity was involved.
But it was created by... Oh, gosh, what was his name? Nick Scolari? Nick, he goes
Phil Guerrero,
not Phil Guerrero, not PJ Funky Fresh Phil.
He was also present.
He was there.
He was there.
Jimmy Garofalo was there. Kevin Smith was there. Jeff Smith was there.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, for a little bit. Mm-hmm. but it was this guy. I can't remember his name, but he currently goes by Nick Amadeus. He's still a known property, and he was like 13 when he came up with this thing. It was a public access show that was later put on Sci-Fi and YTV in Canada, ran for a bunch of seasons. And when researching this show, I was like, oh yeah, Anti-Gravity Room, I want to look that up. Hey, I wonder what that guy's doing now. I found his tweets. Gonna read you some of his tweets.
Sounds good.
Because you'd think someone who like had success early in life like that would become a bit of a Shia LaBeouf.
Just do it! Don't let your dreams be dreams.
But he's still an okay guy. So here's some of the stuff that he has said.
Do it.
Do it!
Holy shit, George Costanza's supposed to be 33? I bet some days Jack Hanna's like, man, I just wish I could just wear a goddamn t-shirt. Even considering everything that happens in Rosemary's Baby, the people are still getting an excellent deal in that apartment. As I get older, I identify more and more with Larry David, which excites me as a comedy writer and terrifies me as a human being.
Makes sense.
That's pretty fair.
If I met Oprah and she didn't give me a car, I would be livid. It's my first time at the grocery store on this diet, and I have no idea where the fucking miserable section is. The only scenario in which Donald Trump is going to have a beer with you is if he's eating your corpse in the post-apocalyptic hellscape he's making.
Yep.
Luke Wilson perpetually looks like it's his first time shopping for dildos. There's a wonderful picture to go along with it.
I took a sip right when you were saying that, and it took every ounce of strength I had to not spit it everywhere.
When I need inspiration, and here's coming up on the end, when I need inspiration, I blast Toto's Africa, a song that proves nothing can stop success. Not even total ignorance about the subject.
yeah.
Here's a picture of a guy in a grape costume. He's a bunch of grapes.
Oh, it's the grape. It's fruit. It's just the Fruit of the Loom guy.
Okay. I wish this was my dad. I'd make him a hat that says "Make America Grape Again." He'd laugh. I'd be his son. And here's one more, final one. It's a picture of a sign that, like, a lost thing that someone put up. It said, found July 2nd at 93rd and Broadway. Something of value. Call/text if you've lost this item, and please be able to describe exactly what it is. He wrote, hey, someone found my desire to connect with others. And that's Nick. Nice. He's still an okay guy.
Nick in a nutshell.
He's a comedy writer. He's still doing okay?
He's writing and acting and doing stuff.
Good for Nick. Who the fuck are we?
We already did that.
Oh, yeah, it's over.
Oh, episode over.
Wait for it. Keep waiting. Keep waiting.
I just want to cuddle for a bit. Just feel real close to you.
Oh, my God.
Just do it! Don't let your dreams be dreams.
I don't know. I had dreams.